It is a rich and wonderful blessing to be here with y'all, and I do count it an honor and a privilege. Thanks, Pastor, for the opportunity. It's such a special place. I commented to Mary Ann just as we were pulling into the parking lot. It's so special to pull on in and see a full parking lot just packed with people, and you walk in into this place and just people who love the Lord, who are serious about serving Jesus. It's a very special place, as I know you all know. And whenever we're down here, it is always like coming home. You know, you can be gone. We've been gone for a long time. I'd have to ask my wife just how long it's been. No, it's actually 22 plus years that we've been now in Maryland. And I'm thankful for the good work that we have opportunity to be a part of there, and I'm ever mindful of the rich and wonderful privilege that pastors extended the opportunity to serve in the kingdom and the body of Christ there in Gambrills. And it is to me a very sacred trust, as I know it is to pastor. And I'm very grateful to Father for the opportunity. And I know that we pray for you on a regular basis. And I know that it's been such a blessing over the years to hear different ones talk of how you pray for us. It's a good big family, isn't it? Extended not only to Gambrills, Maryland, but to East Africa as well. Of course, an upcoming missions trip, and you've probably had opportunity to, you've had the misfortune to hear from Rob and Forb lately, and so I'll take my shots now. They'll be coming my way probably in the weeks ahead. They'll have their turn. But so thankful to Father to be a part of the ministry under Pastor's oversight. Why don't you turn with me in your Bibles this evening over to Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4, and we'll visit the one verse that you know in Zechariah. Just looking to the Lord for what to share this evening. Just it was on my heart to cover some ground that we've been on. This will be somewhat of a distillation of some ground that we have been covering in recent weeks there in Gambrills. Trust that it will be a blessing. But here, yes, in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, a familiar verse where the man Zerubbabel is charged with rebuilding the temple. There's been opposition. And from the prophet of God, a word of encouragement comes. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And we understand that anything that is that's going to take place of consequence in our lives, any kind of meaningful use and service, growth, victory over sin, it's going to take place by God's Spirit. We not infrequently have to contend with striking a balance, what we do in terms of yielding effort. But ultimately, bottom line is God is drawing us, working in our hearts, in our lives. You could leave this passage of Zechariah and go with me to a similar passage over in the New Testament, Philippians chapter 2. And we'll visit these briefly as we wade into things. I asked Greer just about how long Pastor would typically go on a Sunday evening. And she said commonly to around 10:30, you said, Greer? Yeah. So that was good because I brought 40 pages of notes here. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 2:13. This is a passage of scripture that was on a graduation card that was given to me by my older brother back in 1976. Showing my age, right? I was not serving the Lord at the time. He was. And he gave me a card that had this verse, and it's been a very meaningful verse to me for a long time. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Again, there's nothing in us that has a natural inclination to want to honor God, serve God, seek God. But thankfully, God begins a work at new birth that changes all that. He is the one who gives us a desire for more of Him. He's the one that gives us a desire to seek Him, to know Him, to pursue His will for our lives, to allow Him to honor us, to allow Him to be honored through us, to allow Him to use us for His glory and for the advancement of His kingdom. He's the one that initiates, and He's the one that empowers, isn't He? And yet we can sometimes get distracted, entangled, can't we? And if we're not careful, we can become unaware of a stirring that God is always wanting to do. We know we serve a God who always, He's always speaking. He's always got something to say to us. His Holy Spirit, who abides in our hearts, always wants to lead us in paths of righteousness, lead us into a deeper, fuller, closer walk with our Lord. Well, that's not always something we're conscious of, is it? But it's always there in our hearts. God is always wanting to draw us into a more intimate relationship with Him. Referring to these couple of verses and putting them into a more specific context there in Maryland, I shared with the people just three very, very fundamental motives that work in the hearts and lives of Christians that might reasonably stir us to have a desire to have the Holy Spirit working in us more powerfully, more effectively. Pastors, of course, speaking to them on a very regular basis. The first one that I put before the people, we're familiar with how there in John 14, Jesus says to the disciples, "The works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father." Well, when we think of being all that God intends us to be, all the potential that is before Christians, people who know and love the Lord, people who read their Bibles and say, "Yes, I want all that God's got for me." You read a verse like that and think, "That's what I want. I do want to be used by God, and in that way, mightily." Well, that's available to us, isn't it? And it's not by might or by power. It isn't. It's not by our soul, determination, grit, resolve. No, it's by God's Spirit, isn't it? Yeah. The second motive, again, just for a desire for a fuller work of God's Holy Spirit. It says there in Matthew 28, and I was reading the passage, just a reference that Pastor made. I was reading one of the booklets that has been prepared, and Pastor was sharing that the real direction for the church is not principally evangelism, is it? That's a fundamental part of what we're to be doing, but behind evangelism is discipleship, isn't it? Sure it is. Yeah. It's making disciples. Well, you're not going to make a disciple without the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through you, are you? Anybody effectively convince somebody to become a Christian in your own strength? You can concourse, you can out argue somebody, can't you? You can win a conversation, but you can't convince them in the strength of your own intellect, will, resolve to become a Christian and then make good on that commitment. But you know, by God's Spirit, we can do that, can't we? Amen. Empowered by God's Holy Spirit. And I'm talking to people who I believe have a desire to partake of God's richest and fullest and be used by the Lord for all that He's got for us. And that's a blessing and a privilege to be able to talk to people whose hearts are inclined toward the Lord like that. The third thing that I put before our people there in Gambles was that the Bible says in John 15 that the Father is glorified through fruit bearing. "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." And again, anybody with a sincere desire, a genuine love for the Lord, you know how you just want to please your Father, don't you? You really want to do the things that are pleasing to Him. And it's not just that you'd be welcomed into heaven and be commended with a "well done, good and faithful servant." You love your Father and you genuinely want to honor Him, don't you? You want to live a fruitful life. Well, that's attainable. All these things can be done, but they can only be done by God's Spirit in us and through us, can't they? We can indeed be a fruitful people, fruitful in every good work, bearing not only the fruit of the Spirit, but being used by God effectively in the lives of our brothers and sisters. And again, I'm very thankful to the Father that That when I speak to these very basic truths, I speak to a people who genuinely want more of what God's got. Because I know that's always what the challenge that comes to us through pastor. Just to keep ourselves stirred up. There's no such thing as a healthy Christian is never a complacent Christian. A healthy Christian content and yet, there's just always something that's stirring in us. Wanting more. And that's a good thing. And the Bible says that there is no good thing that the Lord will withhold, is there? From them that walk uprightly before him. Look me over to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29. So on my heart to just encourage the people of God that as Jeremiah, the prophet, says here, if we seek him, we'll find him. Now that is, you could quote this. You could quote it in 6 different translations. We know this passage, loved passage. But really on my heart to encourage the people to put into practice the simple truths that are here before us. Seeking God earnestly. If we're not careful, we lapse into religious routine. And while there is much that characterizes a healthy Christian walk that is comprised of good disciplines and regimentation, there needs to be life. Doesn't there? There needs to be a heart cry for more of Jesus. There needs to be deep within, from deep within, an expression of our desire to know a God who can be known. A God who can be known. The invisible God, the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, who dwells in the high and holy place, knows each of us individually. Calls us by name. He's a God and Father to us, and we are his sons and his daughters, and he can be known. He genuinely can be known in personal, intimate communion, can't he? And so when we talk of the work that the Lord desires to do in us and through us, being used by God, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, being a blessing to the lives of our brothers and sisters and a blessing to this sin-cursed world, well, that's all attainable. And probably not the best way to put it. It's something that we partake of and do walk into a measure, but there's always more. Always more. And as thankful as we are for what we walk in, what we know, and I'm reminded of just something that was made real to me some years ago when we celebrated an anniversary with Pastor. It just occurred to me that you all are the most Christian people I know. And I think you understand what I'm referring to. You run into that all the time, where you work and where you live, while you're out and about. It's not just your knowledge of the word. No, it's a genuine relationship that we thankfully have with the Lord. Real relationship. Living relationship with a living God. Amen? Amen. Amen. You know him. And what we're talking about today is knowing him more. Don't stay hungry. Stay hungry. Here in Jeremiah 29, from verse 11, the scripture reads, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." It is a familiar passage. And I think that maybe sometimes it's the all your heart that might trip us up. Because if we're honest with ourselves, we'd say, well, I really want to know the Lord. I genuinely want to know the Lord. I want to find him. I want to be known by him. I want to be used by him. I want to be surrendered to him fully. But all my heart, can I honestly say, and who'd raise your hand to that one? Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, definitely sold out for Jesus, 100%, totally. We know better than to say that. We know, we've got to, even if we believed it, we've got to feign the humility and say, oh no, I've got a long way to go. But can we candidly, honestly say that, oh yeah, I'm seeking God with all of my heart? Well, leave to the Lord a determination of what all is. Amen? You seek Him. Seek Him. And do your best to make it all. And if it's not all, then the Lord can deal with, can't He? Yeah. Seek Him. Seek Him. And as we're seeking Him, God will speak to us. He'll make Himself real to us. He will. He'll reveal Himself. Don't get discouraged when you hear of loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. No. No. Don't get discouraged. I could never pull that off, never do that as much as I might want to. No. Seek Him. Seek Him diligently. Because He can be found. He desires to reveal Himself to us. He really does. The God of the universe, maker of heaven and earth. He desires to speak to us, doesn't He? And He does. And He desires to do so more and more. More and more. Hebrews 11 is a similar passage. Verse 6 says, without faith it's impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Well, again, we have to have that qualifier, don't we? The diligently. Oh, diligently. Am I really diligent in my pursuit of God? I want to be. Don't you want to be? Yeah, you want to say, yeah, I want to be somebody that can say I'm diligently following the Lord because I want to find Him. I want to know Him. And yet, but again, I would encourage the people of God, don't get tripped up on that one. Just give it your all as best as you know how and leave the determination as to whether or not there's more to give. There's always more to give. There's always more diligent seeking. There's always a more wholehearted search, isn't there? A pursuit. And again, Father, and I'm thankful just so long ago in Pastor's teaching, you know, he used the terminology that I know that has been helpful to us all, perfect in pursuit, right? Just be about a pursuit, an active, fervent pursuit. And if there are matters that the Lord would find that needs to be tweaked, of course there are going to be. That's a given, isn't it? It's a given that as we're seeking God, He's going to identify. That's part. We'll talk about that in a moment. But one more along the lines of seeking God. James chapter 4. And again, briefly let me read it for you. The scripture says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Draw nigh to God. Well, that's to me, it's a little bit of an easier way to put it. It's not quite so demanding. It doesn't have the all your heart and diligently. Just draw near. Draw near to God and remember that as you do so, your God is drawing near to you. Isn't He? He sure is. And there's probably not a soul here that wouldn't testify to experiencing that. That's the wonderful thing about Christianity. It is to be experienced, isn't it? Yep, you draw near to God and He does draw near. There's probably not a soul in here today wouldn't testify of times in your life when you've been more serious about seeking God, stirring yourself up, more zealous for the work of the kingdom, communion with the Lord, and it affects your life, doesn't it? You're aware of God's nearness, a desire to seek Him more, an awareness of His guiding hand, His influence on your life using you because you've been sown to the Spirit. And yeah, you reap, don't you? Immediate benefits. Draw near to God. And He will draw near to you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. That's, I trust that encourages all of us. Seek the Lord while He may be found. I'm reminded of the accounts that we find in the scripture of encounters that men of God have had. We love the passage there in Isaiah, where the prophet in the presence of God is undone, isn't he? Yeah. So we shift a little bit to consider that when we are seeking God, we should not think it strange that God would identify things in our lives that need to be cleaned up. The need for house cleaning. Amen? Anytime the people of God, you could revisit the accounts of the kings in Judah that had a heart toward the Lord. And what would they do? They'd go on into the temple, wouldn't they? They'd go on and clean up the house of the Lord. And yes, when we draw near to God, invariably, there are things that God wants to purge from our lives, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Referring to the James passage that we were just looking at, you know what the latter part of that verse reads, don't you? Yeah, the first part is, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. And then it's what? Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Whoa. I mean, the first half of the verse is this warm invitation, welcome, you know, and right in the same verse, same breath. And that, those truths are coupled in numerous places in the scripture. And that's not to be interpreted, well, it's not to confuse us. And nobody should consider, well, this seeking God is too tough to do. And I don't know that I want to go there. And why does God have to, you know, poke me in the eye when I start even considering getting close to him, draw near to God, and he'll draw near. Oh, that sounds so nice and warm and tender, you know, and come unto me, you little lambie, and I'll be your friend and cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And God, truth is never in conflict, is it? Is it? No, there's no conflict in the heart of Father. It's just that we should understand very simply and very plainly that in drawing near to God, yes, there'll be a purging and a purifying work that he desires to do in our lives. Well, that's all part of what we're after anyways, isn't it? We want more of him and less of us. We want to be filled with his presence. We want to be shining forth his lights in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation, don't we? Yeah, we do. Just bring in Father glory, his glory in earthen vessels. Amen? And if there is crud that needs to be cleaned on out, there's self in the way, then that's a good thing. We shouldn't read a verse like that and allow it to discourage us in any way. On the contrary. No, we should be encouraged. Again, the first part says, draw near to God. And he'll draw near to purge and purify our lives and fill us ever more fully with the knowledge of his will, his precious Holy Spirit. And again, we've entitled this, by my Spirit. These are works that God does in us. Remember, we started out with Zechariah and Philippians. God's the one that gives us a desire to draw near to him, that he might draw near to us. Far more than we have a desire to know him more, God has a desire to reveal himself, doesn't he? Oh, we might think, oh, you might think at a time of real spiritual fervor, you really want to know God. And you just got to convince God that, you know, that he should reveal. It's always God that's making the, making the efforts to reveal himself to us. He's far more in love with us than we are with him. And of that we should be convinced, of that we need to be reminded, and that we might seek the Lord, that he might reveal himself to us and fulfill his will in our lives. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Very similar truth brought out over in Isaiah 55. Verses 6 and 7, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Well, that sounds great, doesn't it? And then he goes on and he says what? Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Well, those, again, we find not as discouraging but encouraging words. That the wicked is to forsake his way. And you know, simply the wickedness of the way is just that it's my way, isn't it? Most fundamentally, when he says, let the wicked forsake his way, what's wicked about it? Well, it's not just the most heinous sins and evil, easily identifiable, sinful things, but it's just my way, isn't it? When he says, let the wicked forsake his way, it's what makes the way of the wicked wicked? It's that it's his way, not God's way. We're to come to Jesus, to follow Jesus. He says, deny self, doesn't he? Yeah. And again, it's always an open invitation, a heart that Father has for us to come to his presence. But he is a holy God. And that should not scare us, should not discourage us. No, he's still our Father and we are still his children. And he is a holy God and he teaches us to be a holy people. We sit here tonight and say, yes, I want to be more effectively used by God in his kingdom. I desire to love him more purely, live a more consecrated life. I desire to be used by God in the gifts of the Spirit. Desire to be used more in effective discipling. Desire to bear much fruit that would remain. Well, yeah. God desires that in our lives. And in order for that to take place, yes, we need to draw on him. But coupled with our need to draw near to him is the need for cleansing, isn't there? Those things go hand in hand. So as we're seeking him, yes, we don't think it's strange that he identifies in our lives, and there's always need, there is always the need for further purification, isn't there? And there's nobody better than the Holy Spirit to identify what needs to change. He's the one that can put his finger on it like nobody else can. Yeah, you might have a close friend that is doing their level best to identify something in your life that needs to change. But the Holy Spirit can do the job like no other. Proverbs chapter 1. And again, just one more verse that speaks to our need to change as we encounter God. And that's God's requirement for us to change. Verse 23, Scripture says, "Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you." You draw near to God. He says, this needs to change. He'll pour out his spirit. He's so ready to do so. He is so ready to pour out of his spirit upon us. Turn. And when I say that, that he's so ready to pour out of his spirit upon us, again, we've all been exposed to extremes in teachings on the subject of God's move and his church and his spirit. It's sad, it's pathetic, and it's inexcusable that there would be all the fads and all the excesses and all the imbalances in teachings that pertain to God's work in his people and in his church. We desire to see supernatural manifestations of God's Holy Spirit in our lives and in our midst. Amen? Amen. And we're convinced that it's biblical. But there are wrong teachings that would have us believe that if we just follow this little magic formula, if we just do this little thing the right, you know, if we just stand in this position or say these words or, and everybody's got their seminar and their book, their new program that would promote a technique. Now, just diligently seek God, actively, consistently, fervently seek God. And he does a purging work in our lives. He purifies these earthen vessels and fills them increasingly, incrementally. It's a progressive work that the Lord does in our lives, isn't it? And we should not be a people who buy into the quick and easy approach to Christianity. You're in this for the long haul, aren't you? Aren't you? Yeah. Yeah. Well, don't grow weary in a pursuit of God. Don't grow weary in diligently seeking him. Have you not known real and meaningful growth in your walk with the Lord? Known the blessings of being used by God? Well, there's more. Don't get content with what you've got. You know what I mean when I say that. Be content and yet stay hungry. Stay hungry for more of Jesus. Turn at my reproof. There's always the need for a cleansing work, some house cleaning to be done, that the Lord might fill us ever more fully. Look with me over to three passages in the Gospels. Mark chapter 4. We'll start there. There's a simple truth that's brought out here. And I was familiar with the statement that Jesus made in one or two of them. But as I was following it there a few weeks ago, I was blessed to see that it appears three different times. Because you know, you read through the Gospels and sometimes you see a truth brought out and you recognize, okay, that's the same truth that's brought out under the same circumstances just by the different Gospel writer, right? But sometimes you see the same truth brought out in three totally different contexts. In this case, three totally different contexts. And that's interesting. That's noteworthy. That's the Spirit of God who inspired it, that the holy men of old would record it. And look with me first to Mark, where Jesus, in concluding the parable of the sower and the seed, from verse 8 we read, "Other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up, increased, brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And then look to verse 10 and 11. "When he was alone, and they that were about him with the 12, asked him of the parable. He said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables." That's interesting, isn't it? We think of Jesus as well, you know, God, he wants everybody to know everything, doesn't he? He wants to just pour out. But here he tells them plainly that you've come and asked. You've sought me. You've had an interest. There's some things that you wanted to know more clearly, more fully, and you've come and asked. I'd really encourage you. You want to know God better? Ask him. Ask him. You want to know him more? You want more of his Holy Spirit? You want a closer communion with him? Ask him. He's not put out. Mm-mm. Door's wide open. Look at me to the other couple real quickly. Look at me to Mark 7. Different parable. Verse 15, "There's nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they which defile a man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." Again, he says that. "And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable." There it is again, isn't it? These guys are asking. They don't understand. They want to know more. They want to get closer to Jesus. How many times do we read in the Bible? And does it occur to you, you know, Jesus, miracle working, doing mighty miracles, moved about Palestine. I mean, he'd be up in Galilee, he'd be down south in the Jerusalem area, moving all over. Can you imagine having Jesus come to your town, do mighty miracles, maybe heal you? He leaves town. What do you do? Oh, hope to see you again when you come back. Some people followed him, didn't they? Where he went, they went. You know, there's another case where, you know, he sends the disciples off and they get into the ship and they sail across the sea and he comes walking across the sea and before they get there, there's a crowd that went on ahead. Some sought him, but not everybody. Not everybody. These are accounts where people are seeking him, aren't they? Yeah, this is real personal. There's only so much that we can do corporately. Don't forget that. We're thankful for the word that comes to us through our pastor and the anointing that comes and the move of God's Spirit in our midst. But there's time for every one of us alone with Jesus too. Amen. And frankly, and I know pastor speaks to these matters, that, you know, the corporate health is only going to be as strong as the individual health, isn't it? I mean, you can only go so far. And everybody's at their own place. Everybody's got their own personal pursuits. And sure, there will always be those who are more serious about their love for the Lord and the pursuit of the kingdom than others. But you just can't get swept along on somebody else's coattails. These are accounts of people that When the crowds went away, just like Joshua, still in the temple, still in the tabernacle. These guys, they stayed with Jesus. When others were maybe, you know, okay, it was end of the day, time to go home, get some supper. No, the crowds went away and there were some people that lingered, weren't there? Yep, they were hungry for more of the Lord. The last one for your notes is Matthew 13:36. The first one we saw was the parable of the sower. The second one is what defiles a man. And here in Matthew 13:36, Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him saying, declare unto this parable of the tares of the field. Three different contexts. The Holy Spirit has seen fit to record that there were people that sought Jesus out for a fuller understanding of what's going on. What did you mean? What were you saying? And again, be encouraged. You take your pursuit of God real personally. Real personally. Don't just think that you're going to come and give diligent attention to the services and the good word that comes to us, and you can go home and not take time to seek God. Take the notes that you take from these services and study them. And ask God to make real to your heart the truths that were on Pastor's heart as he was seeking God. Because there's a whole lot coming out of him that we don't get first time or second time. And we're one. What's coming to us is coming from the heart of God through our pastor, isn't it? Isn't it? We believe that he seeks the face of God. He's believing to hear from the Lord with a word for us. Stands before us and he speaks as the Holy Spirit gives him utterance. And then we're wanting to feed upon that. And we don't get it all. I mean, you know, people dozing off. Busy with the day's activities running through our brains, trying to pay attention, jotting it down. Take good notes. Into your prayer closet. Take the notes from your service and from these services into your prayer closet. And Lord, make real to me the things that you're making real to Pastor. Because I know that that's what you've got for me. That's the bread, the manna for me today. These were people that sought God, weren't they? And when the crowds went away, they stayed close to Jesus, didn't they? They did. Look at me over to Psalm 107. This will finish up our introduction here. Hallelujah. Talk about nodding off, and I've already taken a little shot across the bow with my brother Rob there earlier, but he had the audacity. Can you all hear me in the back? He had the audacity to go an hour and 45 minutes last time he was up our way. Hallelujah. Love you, dear brother. Hallelujah. Psalm 107. I think I was the only one awake keeping time at the Hallelujah. There's a lot that the scripture has to say about spiritual hunger and longing and desire, isn't there? Yeah. And that is a work of God's Spirit. I mentioned how, and we're all aware of how we can get distracted and we get entangled and we can be doing our level best to stay focused and make a deliberate effort at staying in touch with Jesus and in touch with his heart. And remember that God is always working in us a deeper and stronger desire to know him more. Spiritual hunger is not something that any of us come up with on our own. That is also by his Spirit. It's by his Spirit. He's working. We might, you know, you might not be aware. I don't just feel, I would like to feel more desire, more longing for the Lord. God is at work in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. If you are ever feeling distant from God, down, maybe a little bit dry, cold, whatever it might be, you remember that God is at work in you, giving you a desire, a longing. That's not something that belongs to a select few or is only just comes at seasons. God is always doing a work in us, causing us to desire him more. And the blessed truth of the glorious good news is that he will satisfy that longing, that desire, that hunger. Here in Psalm 107, verses 8 and 9. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Hallelujah. Isn't that great news? Oh, man, that's just tremendous. You know, because, again, you sit here this evening and you say, yeah, I do want more of the Lord. I bring that before Father on a regular basis. And I want to know him more, be found in the center of his will, filled with the knowledge of his will. I want to be used by him more effectively. Well, that's a work that God's doing in us. He's teaching us. He's doing a work unknown in realms of our heart that we have no way of looking in on, but we know and are confident and are sure that he is giving us a stronger, deeper longing for him, a desire to know him more, a genuine spiritual hunger that he can satisfy. He's drawing us. Our responsibility is yield. Don't resist it. Tune into that voice. Tune into that. Don't allow the busyness to smother and drown out that voice. It's real, and every one of us here to know. If you're born again, you know that voice. That God's bidding you to come and to know him more. And an encouragement that you can be filled, know him ever more fully, used by him, be more effective in his service, more purified, free of besetting sins, whatever the need and the nature of the need might be. He satisfies the longing soul, the hungry soul, the deepest desires. He's ready to. Look at me to maybe just one more. Oh, we'll go to a very familiar one. Just go over to You don't even need to turn there, because you know it so well. Matthew 5, 6 says what? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Elsewhere in Matthew, the Bible says what? Ask and you shall receive. Seek. Yes. You probably know that those passages there, if you were to read it, say, in the Amplified, where it says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find. If you were to read it in the Amplified, it's ask and keep on asking. You know that, don't you? Yeah. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Yep. Don't be weary in well doing. Oh, there's no good thing that he'll withhold from them that walk uprightly before him. He takes great pleasure in satisfying the longing soul. And if you're here and you wonder, you know, is there really a longing in my heart? Yes, there is. Yeah. Maybe you've been out of touch with the longing. Well, draw near to God. Yeah. And if you've been earnestly and diligently seeking God and are thankful for a work that's taken place, yeah, there's always more purging and there's always more fresh refilling that the Lord has for us. Just on my heart to encourage the people of God to just stay hungry for more of Jesus. Keep seeking. Thank him for all that he has done. Yep, just like it says there. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. We've got a lot to be thankful for, don't we? Amen. Yeah. We've got a whole lot more to be thankful for. Because the Lord desires to bestow a whole lot more, doesn't he? Hallelujah. I would trust the Lord for his grace, because it is by his Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to Jesus.
Glory to God. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Good work for us.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Keep on seeking, praise God.
Let me see if I can get this.
Keep on keeping on.
Amen.
That's what it's all about.
Stay hungry.
We're going to take some time and just honor the Lord, and we have so much to be thankful for, and one of them is the great work of the Lord in our midst. In bringing up a godly seed, amen?
Thank you, Jesus.
And these little ones, we are so blessed to be able to take that heritage of the Lord and lift them up before him and see God again recognized and glorified in our midst. Go ahead and stand, and as the family members begin to come, the elders, if you'll come, we want to take this opportunity to speak peace upon this household and the blessing of the Lord in this hour of warfare that we're involved in. We've talked about it before, but I can't even imagine what these little ones are getting ready to face. In fact, I just saw or heard a statistic about families, secular households that are just saying, you know, we're not going to have children because of what they're going to be exposed to. If this world, this is the secular, if this world is in the condition that it's in right now, what is it going to be by the time my child has to face it? And of course, they fear all of the ecosystem, and they fear the technological advances of artificial intelligence and all of these things. And maybe rightfully so. But thank God we fear the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And we're going to continue with what God said because we're not moved by fear. He's told us to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth with righteousness.
Praise God.
The righteousness of these children. Godly children that are the heritage of the Lord, that will stand in these last days and all facing this iniquity in power and authority in the name of Jesus. A remnant that will reach the remnant, praise God.
Amen.
And that's what we're believing God for. And so it's an exciting time. And as Stephen and Emily come and bring Lauren, we're just going to lay our hands on these parents and on this child and speak by faith the power of God into this little one and into these children to be able to not only stand, but to be victorious in this hour, praise God. So let's just lay hands on these and believe God and to see little Lauren stirred up. Who knows, maybe another great woman of God. Maybe there's another Sarah here or another Amy Simple McPherson. I could name some of you here, ladies. We have got some godly women in our midst.
Thank you.
And we thank God for you and for all that you've done to raise up these children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And here's another great opportunity for us to walk out in faith the will of God. Let's pray together. Hallelujah. Jim. Glory to God. Father, we just come to you on behalf of Lauren.
Praise your name, Lord Jesus.
And in the name of Jesus, we speak into this life an anointing.
Oh, holy Lord.
A godly handmaiden of the Lord.
Yes, Father God.
Be glorified in this life, Jesus. Cause her to stand in her generation and to be a light. And should you tarry, Father,
hallelujah, Father,
to bring fruit into another generation. Father, for Stephen and for Emily, we pray upon their lives, Father, another resurgence of your spirit within them, another stirring of the gifts that are in them, Father, as you bless them and given them the fruit of the womb and this child, Father, entrusted to them, the heritage of the Lord. Cause them to be diligent. Cause them, Father, to be faithful and cause them to move in faith to see your will accomplished. Work it in them, and Father, we will give you the glory, all of the honor, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Father, we thank you for this precious young life. Be glorified. Be glorified. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Oh, we worship you, Lord.
This is your heritage.
Kenala mashana da da basata. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Another warrior for the kingdom. Amen. What a great thing God can do to, in one, make a mighty warrior and a virtuous woman. And we thank God for that work and the miracles that we've seen in lives and in this godly seed. Praise God. Stephen, Emily, come on up and bring Lauren. We just want to thank God for these. Greer, if you'll come up with me. Oh, look at this. Hallelujah.
Oh, more sprigs than this one in the rock, huh? I don't see those La Rock eyes here. Both beautiful. Both precious, praise God. What a blessing to see generations, amen? It's just such a privilege to see what God is doing, this miracle of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and each digging their own wells and living for the glory of God. Father, we thank you for this precious gift. We thank you for what you've done in this family and in these families to bring about a godly seed. And Father, we just say thank you with all of our hearts. Show yourself mighty in our midst. Cause Lauren to finish this race. Bring glory to you, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay. That's about all you can take, huh?
I know.
Yeah. There we go. Now we can see each other. Okay, you can go back to Mama. Here she is. Oh, yeah. That's what I do. When mine just started that, it's like... I'm pretty good at passing and not fumbling. We're a blessed people, and we thank God. Turn to someone next to you and say, the heritage of the Lord. There's Daddy. Hallelujah. Turn to someone next to you and say, the heritage of the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Go in peace. God's love go with you.